all that stuff, no, like, make me strong. Like, why people do wrong things? I want to do right because people do wrong. So I want to do opposite what they do.
Yeah.
And in every human being, there's something right, good in them. Even people kill people, they have something in them that is very good. Everybody has a purpose in life. Try to find your purpose, because that purpose is not going to move. The purpose is going to stay at one place. You may have goals, like, you know, the route to there, it may take you, like, I was telling one kid, she said, I wanted to finish school, but now I'm pregnant, you know, stuff like that. Look, that's a, it's just going to delay you from finishing what you are, but the purpose is going to be there. You want to finish school, it's going to stay there. It's just a detour. So give your baby, go back to school and get there, you know. You know, you're going to have obstacles in life, and you're going to have challenges, but don't move away from your purpose. Focus on that.
Welcome back, guys, to the I Love Success podcast. As you already know, I want to help 10 million people in 10 years to go after their dreams. But the most important person to me right now is you. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I want you to change the way you think. I want you to make something out of yourself and really, really have the courage to go after your dreams, because you matter to me, and I really want you to be happy, fulfilled, and live your potential. To help you with that, I'm gonna give you one of the most amazing shows that I've ever recorded. And I mean, some stories are special and some people are special. And today's guest is truly special. His name is Prince Mumba, and he was born in a very, very poor family in Kitwe, Zambia. He was the 11th child and the youngest kid in this family that almost abandoned him. And he was so poor that he didn't have any shoes until he was 10 years old. But that didn't stop him from dreaming of becoming an Olympian and then going to the Olympics and seeing the world. And I mean, this guy has been through so much hardship, but he never gave up. And he went to the Olympics not only once, but twice. And he even get to hold the flag for his country in the opening and closing ceremony in the London Olympics. I mean, this is a story about struggle, about self-belief, and about never ever giving up. And you need to listen to it. So let's go. Welcome, Prince.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you here today and to talk about your life and your journey as an athlete and a human being. Can we start with Prince? Who is Prince, really, as a person?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, are you a prince? I mean, I used to get a lot of favor from people just because of my name. Oh, maybe it's a prince. Even if I say it's just a name, people think maybe I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Well, just like you said in the introduction, I'm from Zambia, and I was born in a very poor family. And it was just unfortunate that, you know, we didn't have money. And then also, besides that, I went through a very hardship life when my parents retired from the mines and went to the village. You know, I was left with my sister, and I stayed with my sister for some time. But it was very difficult because she was just a housewife, you know. So, you know, living with a brother-in-law who had, like, you know, five, six children. So life was kind of difficult, but at the same time, there was a passion in my heart that one day I want to be in the Olympics.
Yeah, and you have quite a few siblings, right?
Well, I'm the 11th of 11 children. Yes. I mean, I've lost few brothers, but it's a big family, 4 sisters, 7 brothers.
And you're the youngest one?
And I'm the youngest one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's a saying, I'm originally from Macedonia, and they say it's better to be the dog and the youngest one. Because I don't know how it was in your family, but in my family, I'm the youngest, so I had to do everything.
Yes, Nero.
To go and get the magazines.
Go get that. No, let's ask the young one. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but my life has been... a tough life, you know. You know, if, once you go, we go through my life story, you'd think, how did I survive? Why did I continue doing this? You know, there was a time when I sought to kill myself because of so many difficulties, you know. So at the age of 10, yeah. I actually ran away from the Copper Belt, which is Kitwe, from Kitwe to go to Lusaka because I had one of my brothers had money who I never met before, you know. He was living a good life, you know, why am I suffering here when I have a brother who has money and stuff like that. And meanwhile, I was playing soccer by then, you know, I was very good at soccer, and of course, just like you said in the introduction, people would make fun of me. You're a loser. I have no idea why, what happened. And for some reason, I knew there was something coming, a big thing coming in my life. That's why people are so against me, even for not doing anything wrong. So I was playing soccer and, not having a lot of friends at home. You know, there's no food. No, when I come late, 5 minutes late, I won't find any food, you know. You know, my brother-in-law, you know, ask me why you're still staying here, you know, you don't do anything. I was just a kid, you know, so like, for that reason, I just decided to run away. I saved up some money and went to Lusaka to go see my brother.
And you were 10 years.
I was 10 years. I jumped in a train. It took us the whole night to get there because it was so slow, you know. So it took us the whole night. So I got on a train around 6 p.m. and I was in Lusaka around 10 the following day. So you can imagine how tired I was. So I went to look for my brother. Fortunately, I found the place where my brother used to stay, and he lived in a, I would call it a mansion by then, because I was living in a, you know, a small house. I was like, yes, this is life now. So I waited for him. You know, he got home around 9 p.m. drunk. He asked me who I was. Who are you? I said, I'm your brother. He's like, I know. Why are you answering me? He slapped me and told me, go back to where you came from. I was like, what? So it was around 9 p.m. and it was late. So I had to go look for a place to stay. And there was no place. I don't know anybody there. So I stayed on the street. And from then, for the next 6 months, I didn't have a home to stay, you know. But I was so clever, I went to look for a school, you know. I found a school. I lied to them that I don't have parents, you know, blah, blah, blah. I told all fake stories. And then they offered me a place to go, you know, to go to school to, you know. Yeah. But I didn't have anywhere to stay, so I would go stay on the street, you know, working with, for people, begging, you know, doing all that, all kind of stuff just to survive. Yeah. That was now, I'm 11 now, and by then, know, yeah, so. Anyway, to going back to sports, you know, by then, you know, I was playing soccer, but I kinda got injured. So I was like, everything started coming back to me. I said, oh, that's why my friend said I'll never go to the Olympics. Now I'm injured. I don't think I'll make it to the Olympics. So one day we're making noise in a classroom. The teacher said, I want you to run around the track. I ran and I felt so good. And that's how I discovered I was a runner. And since then, I never lost a race. And that comforted me, you know. Even if I didn't have a home, even if I didn't have a place to stay, at least sports became one of my achievements, you know. Yeah. I would go play with my friends, beat them, you know, in sports. And then fortunately, I got a scholarship to study in United States, and I came here.
Yeah. How old were you when you came to America?
I was 17, turning 18.
And you got a scholarship. How did that feel to get a scholarship?
Well, it felt like, I was like, this is it. This is what I want. Yeah. This is what I wanted. So coming back to the story, you know, when I was at the airport, you know, coming here, somebody approached me and said, you remember that day when you were preaching to trees? I wanted to say no. That guy said, I was about to kill myself. And when he said, God loves you, you saved my life, you know. So now coming to the scholarship, right? Yeah. I was privileged to compete in the World Junior in Jamaica, 2002.
Yeah.
And I did well. I made the semifinal. And then I went to Manchester for the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
also did well. I was only 17. So that's when a lot of coaches from America were like, no, we want that kid.
Yeah.
Everybody started asking me. I said yes to everybody because, I mean, I just wanted to come to America,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to come to my school? Yes. Are you going to come to my school? Yes. I had like South Carolina, LSU, you know, New Orleans, Xavier, Oral Roberts, all these places. I wanted to go there.
Yeah.
So when I went home, I had so many people calling me, this and this, this and that. Until Xavier University did everything. So I went to Xavier and then transferred to Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
Within a semester, I went to Oral Roberts University.
Can you talk about, like, do you remember that moment where you knew that you wanted to go to the Olympics? Did you watch anything on TV? Or what was that? Why did you want to go to the Olympics? Because there's so many kids out there that, like, want to go there. What was your...
So, I was one time, because I wanted to play soccer so bad,
yeah.
I asked my dad to buy me a soccer ball, and he would never afford that. So I would go watch kids playing, I would go watch, the national team for the country.
Yeah.
So until one day, I was on TV watching Olympics. I asked people, what's that? You know, they told me this is Olympics, this is the biggest event ever for an athlete. You know, you ask any athlete what's their dream, is you will hear them, it's going to be Olympics.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, and that thing was born in my heart. I'm like, I'm going to be in the Olympics one day. That's the biggest achievement I'm going to make. I'm going to show my friends, family that I can make it, you know, even going through this, you know. I was only 8. I even wrote somewhere with my broken English, you know.
Yeah.
One day I'll go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I told everybody,
yeah.
You know, and it was a mistake I made. I told everybody, one day I'll be in the Olympics. I'm going to, raise the Zambian flag.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what it meant. And it came to pass in 2012 when I was the flag bearer.
Yeah.
So that kept me going, actually, that one day I'll be in the Olympics. But, you know, just like I said, when I got injured, I thought maybe my friends were true, until when I got punished to run around the track.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think people sometimes don't realize, you know, the story behind a person, you know? And that's why I want to share stories, because this all started when you were a kid.
8 years old.
You could have taken your life, but here you are instead, making something good of your life, showing pride to yourself and your country, and no one in your family supported that.
No.
You supported yourself.
Exactly.
And just walking around in Athens, it must have been like an amazing experience.
It was great, yeah. It was a great experience. You know, stepping on that, they mentioned Prince Mumba Lane. I don't remember my lane.
Yeah.
To mention that, I was like, this is me. Sometimes I would slap myself.
Yeah.
let me wake up. Maybe it's just a dream.
Yeah.
But it was a real dream come true. I was so... just like you said, it's indescribable. You can't describe it. Nobody can understand it but myself, you know. But one thing, I reached out to my old family, you know. But I mean, I have a brother who just died, you know. He supported me a lot, but he was young, you know, he's 10 years older than me, and he was doing his own thing, you know, but he didn't know what was happening with me, because I was kind of a clever kid, I was mature, would go anywhere, I would do anything to achieve something, you know.
Yeah.
But then I reached out to my old family, I was like, look, I don't know what happened, I don't know why he didn't like me, and I'm part of your family, but whatever happened made me stronger, you know, something like... Caster Semenya mentioned something. I don't know if you know Caster Semenya from South Africa.
No.
What is meant to destroy you will build you up. You know, I'll use it to build me up. So a lot of things that happened in my life, I was going to be destroyed, but I used it to build me. You know, like once sometime I would look at the plane, you know, my brother, the one who kicked me out of his house, the one I started staying with him, he looked at the plane, he's like, because he just flew before, I never flew before. He's like, I would look at the plane, he's like, keep dreaming. This is useless, you never go anywhere. He would speak every evil word that is invented to me, and some words that I can't even say them because they were so hurtful. You know, he would say those words and I'll use those words to like build me, like, you know. You say this, I use it in a different way. I said, if you say this, I'm going to fly. You never go anywhere outside the country. I'm like, I'm going to fly. I'm going to be... I've been to almost 90 countries, right? Different countries. So I said, one, I'm going to fly to so many countries. So I reached out to all of them. I said, look, whatever you did, built me, and I'm stronger. And I just want to know why you did that. Some of them will be like, sorry. Some of them will be like, we don't know why we did that. We don't realize that. But I never kept the grudge. The grudge, you know, bitter for them. I just prayed for them, and I forgave them even before they asked for forgiveness, because I wanted to live a peaceful life, you know. Just like, no.
I think no one can say, like, when you come out and do this, they can't say, no, you've had it easy. No, you had a silver spoon or a golden spoon. No, this is my life. This is who I am. And if I can do it, you can do it, right? Yeah. And when you talk about running, you talk about it, that it gives you joy, it gives you peace, it gives you satisfaction. Can you just talk about that? What is so special with running?
Yeah, so... And this other thing is, like, now, since I'm retired from running, I mean, I still run for fun.
Yeah.
I never watched, before I retired, I never watched people competing if I'm not going to run. So, because every time I see somebody running,
yeah,
it starts moving in my body. I'm like, oh my God, come on, run like this, run like this. You're doing it wrong, come on. No, it's like a lot of things go through that. But running, like, the first time I ran, because I didn't know anything about running, but because in my country, like here, everybody can play basketball. At least a lot of boys can play basketball.
Yeah.
You know, they think about football. Back home, it's soccer. Everybody can play soccer. So as a young boy, everybody has to play soccer. We used to make this plastic soccer and play, you know. So I loved it. But when I ran in that track at school, it was a grass, gravel track. I was smiling the whole time. I want to do this punishment every day. And then we started running as a group. I'm jogging, and the people started fading. So I thought they stopped and started, you know, making fun of me. And I looked back, they're all running like hard, you know. And I'm just jogging, and because it gave me the... Like, it made me forget about problems. You know, I was like, this is life. I want to do this every day. So from then, I started running back home.
Yeah.
My house was like 3 to maybe 6 kilometers.
Yeah.
Or about 4 miles from my house to school. So I started running. Every morning I'll run, come with my little bag, I go to the bathroom, shower there, change, go to class. When school ends, I run back home, you know, stuff like that. So it became like part of me, you know, because it's the joy that sometimes I also can't describe how I feel when I'm running, you know. It gives me peace, actually. It gives me, like you said, satisfaction, you know.
Yeah.
Even now when I'm running, I feel like sad, or I'm not feeling too well. Even when I'm sick, I just go run and I feel better, you know.
And one last question that I ask all my guests is, we're all about sharing people's journeys and stories, but what I really want to do is that when people are done listening to this and watching, that they actually do something with their own life. So what would you be your best tips or tool for them to do right now to get started working on their dreams?
First of all, let's believe in yourself. Yeah, you know, don't just believe what people say about you. You know, of course, they might say something good about you, and then be realistic. You know, like, for example, saying, I want to break the world record. I want to break the Olympic record. You know, stuff like that. Know yourself. Know what you can do, but also believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You can do whatever, you know, and also work hard. And the other thing I always say to people is, everybody has a purpose in life. try to find your purpose, because that purpose is not going to move. The purpose is going to stay at one place. You may have goals, like, you know, the route to there, it may take you, like, I was telling one kid, she said, I wanted to finish school, but now I'm pregnant, you know, stuff like that. Look, that's a, it's just going to delay you from finishing what you are, but the purpose is going to be there. You want to finish school, it's going to stay there. It's just a detour. So give your baby, go back to school and get there, you know. You know, you're going to have obstacles in life, and you're going to have challenges, but don't move away from your purpose. Focus on that. Get that small light, you know, keep it on all the time. Yeah. Just know that it's going to go there. And then believe in yourself. That's the most important thing. Believe in yourself and, you know, get there.
And that's what you did. I mean, you said this when you were 8 years old, and you did it. When no one believed in yourself, you had self-belief. Yeah. And a lot of times, today we have YouTube, people can listen to this and get that self-belief. So it's an amazing world. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you have to believe that even if you are not 100% in everything today, that's fine. You can change that. There's tools.
Even if it's dark, that fuel, you have that light, it's going to show. Just keep that light on. You know, it's going to be far. Just keep looking at that light. You know, in the dark, even if it's white, just keep that light on and work towards there.
Keep the light on. Yeah, Prince, you truly are a prince. I would like to say King Mumba.
King Mumba.
It's been a total honor to sit here today and... I'm so grateful that you share this. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I want to thank everybody that listened to this. And if you liked what we talked about here today, I want you to share this with someone that you feel need this and someone that you think would never listen to this, because I think they need to hear it. So help us spread this message so Prince can help more people, I can help more people, and you can help more people, because that's how we grow and that's how we help others. I also want to thank Panos Emporio for sponsoring us. That means the world to us. And that's it for this week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.